So like I said, my name is John, Oakland, California. This story starts, it was a summer before my senior year of high school, and it was summer in California. You know, the sun's out, whatever that typical, like, you know, movie situation you want to think of summer in California. It was probably something actually kind of similar to that. It was like we were going to the beach. I remember the day. It was a beautiful day. We went to Santa Cruz. The surf was great. I don't know how to surf, but it was, you know, it was great. And so, like, people did good. And I come home from this very awesome day with friends, right? It's like I'm about to go into senior year. It's summer just got out. I feel like I'm on top of the world. It was awesome. And I get home from this amazing day with my friends. And I realize as I'm going there that my mom's car isn't in the driveway. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. It's like 9 o'clock at night and mom's car isn't in the driveway. But, you know, okay, she's probably just out doing something. I pull in and, you know, because I was a, you know, cool 17-year-old. I had like my license. That was another reason why I felt like I was on top of the world, because I just got my license. Anyway, and so I pull in and I park in the driveway. I go in the house, and as I walk in, I'm like, hey, Dad, hey, do you know where Mom's at? And he goes, John, why don't you come in the living room? We have something to talk about. And it was the way he said it that instantly, you know, your stomach just kind of drops. And you know, instantly you kind of think as a kid, am I in trouble? Did something really bad happen to Mom? Something is not right here, right? Hey, you guys can relate to something that when something like that's been said. Yeah. And so I walk in and I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah. So I walk into the living room, and we have this big green couch, and my dad's sitting on one end of the green couch, and he goes, hey, why don't you sit right here? And at this moment, I'm thinking, wow, okay, something really is bad. And I go sit down. What's going on, Dad? And my dad has these ginormous blue eyes, and he's staring at me and looking me straight in the eyes. He says, John, I don't know if you have picked up on it or if you've realized, but the last couple years of marriage for me and your mom have not been that great. John, I don't know how to tell you this, but I don't know if it's divorce or if it's just separation for a little bit, but for right now, your mom and I, we're not going to be living together. We're separating for a bit, and I can't tell you what the end result's going to be, but this isn't my decision. This is your mom's decision. She's done some things she's not proud of, and I'm telling her to stick together, but right now, she just thinks that we need to kind of be separated. So your mom's not going to be living here. Now, I grew up, you know, raised in the Christian church. I went to Christian private school from preschool to, I just graduated Biola University, so all the way through college, I grew up in Christian school. And I was raised on this thing where, you know, when you're married, you stick together, and that's what you do. And, you know, through thick and thin, you know, and that's what my parents taught me. And honestly, growing up, I didn't, like I said, I was kind of like one of those goody-two-shoe kids. Like, I didn't really have that hard of a life growing up through school. But at this moment where, you know, your world is perceived to be one way, and all of a sudden my dad says this news, hey, your mom and I are separating. And in one moment, my world gets flipped upside down. He goes on to say that, hey, your mom's not proud of it, but she, in a moment of weakness and things have been hard, she cheated on me, John. Your mom... you remember that soccer coach that you had, you know, 2 years ago? Yeah, your mom had an affair with Nicholas, and in that moment where my world believed to be upside down, all of a sudden that just crumbled, you know, 20 floors down, and I didn't know what to think. I remember the moment so vividly. I remember feeling the material of the couch and still staring at my dad's eyes as tears began to well up in his eyes and tears began to well up in my eyes. And this was probably one of the most defining moments of my life, where it was so real and the emotions I was feeling were so intense. And so my dad is, as we're staring at each other and we're crying, and he says, John, I can't tell you. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't want divorce, but right now your mom is not happy. And it seems to be that might be the direction she's going. John, I know this is hard, but hey, let's pray for your mom right now. And if you've ever been in a moment like this, where you've heard some sort of really intense news, that someone has really hurt you, right? It kind of felt like my mom stuck a knife in my back, and my dad says, "Hey, let's pray for her." And I was like, "Are you kidding me? I pray for mom right now. This is what she's doing to us. This is what she's doing to our family." But my dad's such a godly guy, and he was like, "Let's pray for her." And I was like, "Okay, you know, I respect you. We'll pray for her." So we bow our heads and we're praying, and my dad's praying for my mom and for our family. And in this prayer, in this moment where I'm crying, tears are streaming down my face, it's like all of a sudden I felt this feeling in my chest. And I'm not quite sure what it was. It felt like my chest was expanding, like something was inside my chest pushing out of it, to where all of a sudden I open my eyes and I'm freaking out because it feels like my chest is out to here, right? And I look and, no, everything's fine. It's right there. I didn't just grow muscles. I didn't just, you know, whatever. It's normal size. But it feels like something's pushing on my chest and a presence. Something took hold of my chest. And all I can tell you is this overwhelming feeling of like, John, I've got this. It's going to be okay. I know this is super hard and you don't understand, but it's going to be okay. And so in this really crazy moment with my dad, I ended up with a smile on my face. And that was really weird, especially with my dad when he said amen, and I had a smile on my face in this really crazy moment. I was like, "Dad, this is going to be okay." And he looked at me, he's like, "Yeah, it is okay, sure." You know, and he kind of doesn't know how to take it. He says, "Hey, why don't you go down to your room? Why don't you process this for a little bit? Pray, call friends if you need to talk to someone. Just, you know, go figure this out on your own for a little." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, I'll do that." So I go down to my room. Now, if you've ever had a moment like this, where you just have some cool moment with God, and then all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, right, where I just had this, like, God's got this, I can trust him. And all of a sudden, I walk downstairs, and it's like, I'm pacing my room, and I'm just, what is going on? What is happening? God, do you have this? What? I don't know what to do, right? And 10 minutes later, I'm completely freaking out. And I'm pacing my room, and I find myself even just on my knees. I'm here, and I'm just, for the first time in my life, probably one of the most real prayers that I've ever had with God. I prayed with God, you know, I became a Christian. I can't even tell you that actual day when I became a Christian because I just kind of grew up with it, right? And I made my own decision to say, yeah, I do want to be a Christian, but, you know, I can't tell you a specific day. And so I remember praying all through growing up, and it just seemed like this was for the first time. It was a real, genuine, from my heart, this is what's going on. Here's all of it, God. Right? We pray a lot of times and we're like, hey, God, can you bless this extremely greasy, disgusting pizza to my body? Somehow bless it to my body and it'll be good. You know, God, Jesus, we love you. You're great. Thank you so much, you know, for whatever. And I'm not saying those prayers are bad, but what I'm saying is a lot of times when we're praying, we just kind of toss these things up and we don't really think about it. And they're just kind of these, like, you know, very thin prayers, not a lot of depth to them. But for the first time in my life while I'm sitting here, I'm actually sharing with God this anger that's going on, this doubt that I have. I'm sitting there, I'm saying, God, I have no idea what is going on. I am so scared. I don't want my parents to separate. I don't want to have to go to two Christmases. I don't want, you know, God, are you doing this to me? Is this, you know, is Satan attacking my mom? God, what in the world is happening? I am struggling to trust you right now. And if you've ever been in a crazy moment in life, I feel like it is very easy to say, God, I am struggling to trust you right now. In that moment where I feel like I just kind of hashed out, I said all these feelings, it was kind of just like a word vomit of like, blah, God, here's everything. All of a sudden, I felt that presence again. I said, John, I've got this. It's going to be okay. I'm here for you. And it was this crazy moment of praying and saying, God, I am so scared, but I don't want to be. Can you help me? Right? All of a sudden, my prayers went from like, God, how could you do this to me? Why could you do this to me? And it went to God, I am scared. I feel like I'm struggling to believe that you are good in this situation, but I really want your help. I'm feeling this way, but I don't want to feel this way. Can you help me to praise you and to love you? I know that you have this situation. I opened my Bible to Romans 8:28, and it says, for all things work together for the good of those who love God. And I'm sitting there, I'm saying, God, it is extremely hard for me to believe that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Right? Because in this moment, This situation was not good. But the Holy Spirit helped me to pray, God, I'm struggling to believe that this is good, but I know that you are working in it, and so can you help me to believe that? Now, I'm not saying that to say to put glory on me or to say that I did that right, because that was all the Holy Spirit in that moment. But like I keep saying, for the first time in my life, I feel like this was a very real prayer where I just shared it all with God. And I kind of felt a little guilty about it at first, right? Because the church doesn't intend to teach you to pray these sometimes thin prayers. But sometimes what comes across is that we're just kind of like praying, we're just kind of tossing things up there, right? And I kind of felt guilty, like, I'm sharing these doubts with God. I'm sharing my anger with God. Is this okay? Is he going to spite me? Is this okay? And what happened is, I even had a mentor come, and we started come into my life, and we started reading a lot of the Old Testament, right? And it's crazy. You look at these big figures in the Bible, and that when crazy things were going on in their life, they were able to turn to God and be totally real with them. So we're gonna look at King David in Psalm 13. You guys can turn there if you have your Bible. You don't have to. I'm gonna read it out loud. But in Psalm 13, we see King David. Now, who can tell me a little bit about King David? Right? Yes, King David. He slayed the lion. Yeah, that his name would be great among the entire world, right? King David's a pretty awesome guy. King David, right, they also called him the man after God's own heart, right? Can you imagine having that sentence after your name? I'm the man after God's own heart. Like, and we know King David, and King David messed up in some extremely big ways, right? But still, God said, this guy's awesome. Yeah, you got some more things about King David? Right, he had that affair with Bathsheba, right? But at the same time, as he struggled so hard, God was able to say, you're a man after my own heart, and I'm going to love you, and you are an amazing man, David. I'm going to do amazing things. I'm going to make your name great, right? So we have King David, king of the Jews, right? King of Israel, sorry. And this is what King David, in a moment in his life, when he felt like the whole world was crumpling around him, he felt like everything was failing. And this is his prayer that he had to God in Psalm 13. He says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Right, King David here, honestly, is being a little sassy with God. Right, he's kind of having some attitude because King David knows that God's not going to forget him forever. Right? This guy has had communion with God, and he knows he's not going to forget him forever. But in this prayer, he's saying, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Right? He's having an attitude with God. And he says, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him. Right? King David is scared right now. Right? And he is saying, God, you know, light up my eyes, lest I die. Right? You be with me unless I die, because God, I'm so scared. This is where I'm at right now. Lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But now listen to how he finishes his prayer. And he says, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So here's this prayer that King David has, where he's sharing where he's at. He's saying that he's scared. He almost has a little bit of attitude. But at the end of the prayer, King David's saying, hey, God, I have trusted, I have seen your love, right? I will sing the Lord because you have dealt bountifully with me. So you have done great things in my life. In essence, what King David is saying is he is saying this, God, I am scared. I don't know what's going on, but I know that you are good. It's hard for me to believe right now, but I know that you have dealt bountifully with me and you're going to right now. So God, please be with me in this moment, right? He's pretty much saying, God, I'm struggling to believe, but help me to believe, right? So King David is, we see this prayer where he's being real, but he's not just saying, all right, God, where are you? You're nowhere to be found. All right, peace. I'm being real with you. That's what John told me in the seminar. I'm being real with you. Now, bye, right? No, King David's saying, God, this is really hard right now. But God, I just don't want to be sitting in this anger. I need your help in this. Deal bountifully with me. You have dealt bountifully with me. You have, right? He's saying like, you have dealt like good with me, right? And he is with, and he is having this real prayer where he's asking God to help him still. And now it comes to us. What are those moments in your life, right? You don't actually need to raise your hand and tell me, but think to yourself, what are those moments in your life where you have found yourself actually on your knees? Maybe you're not on your knees, but you're in prayer to God. Maybe you don't even want to go to prayer to God, and you're saying, God, where are you in this situation? Because my parents are divorced, and it sucks, and it's really hard, right? Or where are you in my friend who is passing away, or in one of my parents who is passing away, or where are you in these kids that are picking on me all the time, and you just have these life struggles. Now, I'm here to say, I cannot promise that everything is going to end perfectly okay. But what I can promise is God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us so that we can have a very real relationship with him. So that when Jesus died on the cross, he says, he's this, in those moments where life is extremely hard, I'm going to be with you. Right? In those moments, I'm going to be there for you, and I'm going to give you peace that you're not going to understand, but it's going to be there. Right? I'm gonna help you in these situations. And he wants to have a relationship with us. Now, what would a marriage relationship look like if you just came, say I was married, I just came home from work every day, I went up to my wife and I said, like, hey, you're beautiful, you're great, I love you, thank you for all you do, and I walked away, but in my heart, I'm really mad at her, and I'm bitter at her. But all I tell her, I don't tell her that I'm angry or that this is like, you know, I'm scared of where our marriage is going. But every day I just come home and I'm like, hey, you're great. Thank you so much for all you do. You know, I love you. And I'm not being honest with her, right? In the same way, our relationship, Jesus asked for a relationship with us. Our relationship with him is supposed to be very real. Because he wants us to go to him and say, Jesus, I am struggling right now. I need your help. Right? He doesn't expect everything to be roses and rainbows. He says, he wants us to come and say, Jesus, if I'm honest, this is how I'm feeling right now. If I'm honest, I'm having a really hard time believing that you are God over this situation. But I know that you are good, and I want you to help me in this situation. Right? Here at Hume, we do something pretty cool. We separate you from all of those distractions that you face at home. So we're up here, you don't really have cell phone service, right? We're up here at, say, that terrible home situation where your parents are divorcing and they fight all the time. We pull you out of that. You know, if you have a similar home situation to me and you're like, I don't really know what's going on at home and it's hard, we pull you out of that. Those terrible friends that you might have at home, we pull you out of that. And we bring you to this place where you can come and you can have time to spend time with, you know, your church leaders, with other Christians, with God, where you can go and this is what I'm encouraging you to do. While you're here, take advantage of this space. Go and sit outside of the lake and sit there and say, God, I don't think I've ever had a very real prayer with you right now. And if I'm honest, I'm scared. If I'm honest, I don't know what to do in this situation. And sit and be totally real with him. Because that's why he died on the cross for you, so that you could be real with him and that he can come to you and help you, right? And that's almost like worship if we can come to Jesus and say, Jesus, in this terrible situation, I trust you. That's hard to do, but I encourage you this week to find some space and actually do that. You have these amazing church leaders that have come up with you, your youth pastors, some counselors that have taken weeks off of work so that they can come and spend time with you. That is awesome. Also, when you're going through really hard things in life, it is awesome to talk to people about it. And especially these church leaders that want to invest in you and actually, you know, really talk to you about these things, go to them and say, hey, this is what's going on. I don't really know how to have a real prayer with God. You know, am I allowed to say these things? And they're going to go in there and say, these are great questions. Let's talk about it. Let's pray together. But guys, whatever doubts you're feeling, whatever hard things you're going through, I'm telling you that Jesus wants to be there for you and that you're allowed to come to him with those things. And I just hope and pray that you just don't say, God, I'm mad at you and here it is. But you end those prayers by saying, Jesus, this is hard. I don't know where you are, but please show me. Be with me. So that's my prayer for you guys this week. If you want to know my home situation, things are still up and down. I'm just speaking from what I have learned because my parents are still not divorced. They do not live in the same house. They live about 30 minutes away from each other. I just had the first holiday season where they were actually totally separated. So I went to 2 Thanksgivings, 2 Christmases. And what happens is I find myself struggling with a lot of these feelings of saying, Jesus, I know you're good, but it's hard to feel it right now. And I found the peace that only comes from Jesus by actually being on my knees and saying, God, I need your help right now. This is hard. Why is mom like this? Why can't they resolve their problems? And this is 5 years later from the beginning of that story. And I still have to go and talk to God completely honest with him. Because that's the only way that we can make it through these hard things in our lives. So let me pray for you guys. And then you guys can go back to your small groups. And if you learned something, I would love to talk to you later this week. Once again, go to your counselors. But let's pray and just bring these things before him. Jesus, I pray that we can be extremely real with you, that our relationship with you can be very deep and can be heavy and can be full of real things, and not just thin prayers, but deep prayers about how we're actually feeling. Thank you for dying on the cross for us so that we can have a relationship with you. Jesus, I love you, and I pray that whatever hard things are going on in this room, that they can bring those, that these campers can bring those things to you, and that you will be there for them. I love you, and in your name, amen.